Welcome to the Stain Gang Podcast. As we talk to Bernita Jackson about Midwestern State women's basketball, the women will be on the road for two more games before coming home to take on Texas A&M International and Texas A&M Kingsville next week. This weekend, they're at UT Dallas on Saturday, and they take on UT Tyler Monday in the makeup game from the bad weather game that was canceled last week. You went to Lubbock. You saw Lubbock Christian at Rip Griffin Center on Tuesday night. And it's the same old Lubbock, man. That's a good program.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
What was your impression of the way your team played against Lubbock?
We play well in spurts, you know, kind of been the identity of our team all season long. Can't seem to put it together for a long enough time. And so, but that's what Lubbock does. They stick to the game plan. They play hard. They're going to run their stuff. You never see any of them try to freestyle or be heroes. They're so good at being disciplined, and you know, that's what they do. They just stick to what they know that works and is successful for them. So it's always a tough place to go and play because of that. And you know, they have a great leadership, and those kids can knock down shots. And so always a tough game for not just us, just for anybody.
It's for anybody that goes in there. They, mm-hmm. Not long ago, they had a stretch where they won more than 100 straight games at home. Mm-hmm. So, no, they're really tough there. We're taking on a UT Dallas team this week that's new to the Lone Star Conference. What style of basketball are you expecting to see from UT Dallas, and what should Midwestern State fans expect in that game Saturday?
Well, they're gonna run kind of like a five-out motion. They're going to really try to stretch the floor. They got a really good guard that's a playmaker for them. I don't want to pronounce her name wrong, but Umi, she's number zero.
She's averaging almost 16 points a game, I think.
Yeah, she's really good, and so she can make plays, and she can draw fouls, and obviously she can score the ball as well. And so she's really dynamic for them. I think they've had to play a couple of games without her, and they were, you know, obviously different without her, but she's just so dynamic for them. And so we're going to have to have some great containment on her and try to turn her over a little bit. And she's also going to be playing well with some of the other forwards that they have. So they're going to try to have some height at the 3, 4, and 5 position, about 6 foot plus. And they're more hybrids. Those kids can play inside and out, and all of them average right between 8 and 9 points. And so any of them can get into double digits on any given night. And so we got to do a great job of containing them.
Sounds like that's a tough team to prepare for.
Well, yeah, I think anybody is tough to prepare for. I think the Lone Star is just tough, and I think that is deep. And, you know, there's 17 teams in the Lone Star. So you're talking 16 different styles of play and different just paces, if you will. Some teams like to play faster. Some like to play slower. And so they're all different. And it makes the Lone Star very tough, very deep, and very competitive.
Talk about UT Dallas being a Lone Star Conference newcomer. What do they bring to the conference? Are they a good addition to the conference for women's basketball?
Absolutely. I mean, location alone, they bring a great addition to the Lone Star. And then they're going to be able to help even other teams get more Dallas kids, just because, hey, we're going to play in Dallas in front of your family and friends whenever we go to UT Dallas. And so, absolutely. And Joe's done a fantastic job with the transition from going D3 to D2. And he's been in the portal. He's got a couple of kids on his team that he's gotten from different teams here in the Lone Star, one from Angelo. One of them is from St. Mary's. And so, you know, he's going to do a great job there. He's a really good coach, and he gets those kids to play really hard. So absolutely, on the women's side, a great addition. As I look across other sports, you know, their soccer team was really good. Their men's basketball team was pretty solid as well. And so I think anytime you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you're going to always have an opportunity to call kids all over the world, and they've heard of Dallas.
Right.
And so that's a huge part of recruiting, is people want to know where you're at. And if they can readily identify with that, that's going to give you a leg up, unless I got to, you know, kind of explain where it is and how to get here and how far we are from Dallas. And so I think they're doing great, and Joe is going to keep working and plowing and keep building his women's basketball program. But all their sports are doing pretty well in the Lone Star.
You're probably the best person to ask this. How big of a transition is that from Division III to Division II? What's the difference?
I wouldn't know if I'm the best, but I mean, the biggest difference from D3 to D2 from my observation is, you know, they only get academic scholarships at the D3 level, but they still get scholarships. And if you know the right people on the inside, you can still get the right kids in. The other thing is D3 rules won't allow you to practice at all until like October something, because they're really hardcore focused on the academics side of things, which UT Dallas is a really hard school.
It's
just
a very
in
tough
general
school.
And so with that being said, it's similar to Sol Ross that came in and went from D3 to D2. Now you get more time with your players, and now you're getting more money to offer, and now you have a little bit more leverage. And so as long as they're getting funded correctly and getting the right scholarships, I mean, they're going to be competitive right away, which from my understanding, from what he says, they are and they have been. And so those are the two major differences that I'm aware of. I mean, logistically, the Lone Star is just as spread out as the league they came from. And so they're used to that travel. I don't think that part of it is as hard for them. But and they're used to a big conference with lots right. of teams in it as well. So having to flip gears and get ready for a new scout. So but now the D3 to D2 transition, I've never coached D3. I'm not real aware with it. I've coached JUCO, NAIA, D1, D2. And I pray I never coach D3, but I know there's some good basketball. I just know that scholarship athletes, you know, full athletic scholarship athletes is kind of what I'm more used to and would prefer to stay with. So.
As you take a look at your team, and I think we get so focused in on the results, but where have you seen your team improve in recent weeks?
Improvement. Well, at Cameron, you know, we were making shots. That was a big thing for us. It wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just like one thing, right? We were getting steals and scores. We were getting offensive rebounds and putbacks. We were scoring in the half court. We were hitting the three ball. We were getting to the free throw line and knocking those down. I thought that was good. You know, I thought that was good. We came home. We played a very physical Oklahoma Christian team and got torn apart by Miss Taylor Jackson. But I thought that we did a little bit better job on some of the other girls, just not as good of a job on her. Because I think that when you have a star like that, you know they're going to get theirs, but you got to try to find a way to contain the others. At Lubbock Christian, same thing, kind of Kennedy Chapel got going. And I thought we did a pretty good job on some of the others, kind of containing them, not letting too many heroes get going. So, I mean, little small things. You like to see Viante Powell is knocking down shots. She's been in double digits for 3 games in a row now. You see Delana Choice, who's been gone for 2 months, who finally got into double digits this past game and is getting a little bit more confidence with that. I thought Kirby Cash at Lubbock Christian had her most efficient game. And we've talked to her a lot about, you know, 7 of 24 or 7 of 20 anything, you know, but you got to get more efficient than that. And I thought at Lubbock she finally did. And so that was healthy to see. You know, you want to see players get into double digits, but you don't want them to have to shoot 20 shots to do it. And so that was good to see. We needed to see that. Our bench is scoring way more these last few weeks. In the 30s, you know, which is good, you know, probably just because we put Viante on it. And so now she's hooping a little bit and it looks a lot better than what it is. But so we fixed one thing, but then, you know, now Kalissa's not scoring as well anymore. And now Talia's kind of struggling a little bit. And so we got to get them to be on one accord with the improvement and having a good game on the same night. That's important for us.
I was going to ask you about Viante. Do you keep bringing her off the bench, or do you reinsert her into the starting lineup now that you've kind of seen her get on a roll here lately?
Good question. I mean, the way things are going, you can shake it up and go any direction. You could start her at the point guard, see how she likes that. I mean, my goodness. No, I mean, we've talked about it. We'll see. It'll be a game time decision, but she definitely is scoring the ball a lot more and hopefully building her confidence a little bit. But, you know, we always knew she could do that. It just took her a little while to kind of lean into it and just shoot and not be afraid of a miss. A miss is going to happen. Just shoot and eventually you'll make it. bracket, but she's been scoring it pretty well. I've been very happy to see her see the ball go in because, you know, it always feels a lot better once you're making those shots.
We mentioned what you've got coming up, and that includes a trip to UT, Tyler, that you're supposed to take on January 24th, mm-hmm. but the roads wouldn't allow it. Mm-hmm. And it's a UT Tyler program that, like UT Dallas, came out of D3, and they've made a pretty quick transition and had success early in the Lone Star Conference. They've become one of the powerhouse programs in the LSC.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's that again, location, location, location. You know, you take any business one-on-one class, that's what they're going to tell you, location, location, location. It matters. And so you're in Dallas, or if you're in a city like Austin or San Antonio, you know, you're going to be able to get high octane athletes. And so they're doing great. So we'll play them on Saturday. We're going to take it to them on Saturday and throw the kitchen sink at them. And then you're right. We turn around, we go to Tyler on Monday to try to make up that winter snowstorm that shut us down. And they're playing really well right now, but they're going to kind of have that FIBA style basketball.
I was going to say, I think last time we talked about them, you mentioned it's kind of a FIBA style, and it is a team with a lot of international players.
Mm-hmm. And they can shoot, and they're going to stretch the floor, and they're going to pump fake you and pass fake you. And if you give them space, they're going to knock the shot down. But they also create off of the pass and cut. You won't see a lot of unnecessary dribbling. And so both of these teams, in my opinion, are probably going to pass and cut, space the floor very well. And we're going to have to kind of shrink the court with our size as best as we can and guard the ball and contain it and try to turn them over. We're going to need to try to turn them over, and then we got to score on those turnovers that we force as well. That's a big thing for us, is we'll turn people over, and then like at Lubbock, we would turn it back over, and you don't want that. If you turn them over, go score on that and create some easy offense for your team. So we'll be working on that this week.
But that has been something you've done consistently well, is turn teams over, and you're one of the best teams in the conference at turning teams over.
Mm-hmm. Our ball control is pretty good. We practice that a lot, and so just trying to cash in on those possessions and make sure that we're scoring the ball and being a little bit more consistent with when and how we score it.
Bernita, we appreciate your time. Thanks for doing the Stank Gang podcast. We'll see you in Dallas on Saturday afternoon. That's a 1 o'clock start. Then 5:30 Monday at UT Tyler. We'll have audio broadcast of both of those games. Thanks again, Bernita. Appreciate it. We'll see you Saturday.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Stank Gang podcast. Be sure to follow the Mustangs at MSUMustangs.com. I'm Pete Stein. So long.